One of the hardest things for me as a teacher is being sure of where the Lord wants you to go next. Once I get there, He's always good about providing what I need to see what's there and be able to pull it out and hopefully share it in a way that is understandable to others. Well, we started 1 John, and we got to the end of the 1 John. We just went ahead and did 2 John, 3 John, and we got through. I'm thinking, all right, where are we going next? And I could not get a handle, still don't have a handle on where we're going to be. So we had talked about a few things in our Sunday school class, and so I was talking about peace, I was talking about joy, and I was talking a little bit about hope. So I was looking for some scripture when I was talking about hope, and I came across this psalm, Psalm 71, which is where we'll be this morning. So we just started going through Psalm 71. We're taking like two or three verses a day. And Courtney asked me one Sunday morning, she said, how'd you find that psalm? What'd you do? Just open your Bible and... I said, no, I didn't what I did. But I was actually looking for some support scripture on the point I was trying to make about hope. And it was found in this chapter. So I continued reading in the chapter. So there's 24 verses. So I read through it and I thought, man, this is some good stuff. We're just going to camp out here for a little while until we get through. And then, you know, maybe the Lord will give us some direction on what we need to do in our Sunday school class. Because that's a hard thing sometimes for me to nail down, make sure it's not something I want to teach and I want to study, but something that God wants us to look at. So I'm going to read, when we get there, all of Psalm 71, which is 24 verses, but we're only going to look at probably about... maybe 16 verses. I don't even know if we'll get that far. I've got 15 points, okay? So, but it's kind of like, who's the guy that used to come with Sam Cathy, the big guy? Bill Sturm. Bill Sturm says his messages were like bologna. You know, you used to go buy the bologna in the tube. He said, I can cut it off anywhere. So, when you got 15 points, you can cut it off anywhere, okay? So, don't say anything. Virgil saying, oh my gosh, the steaks are going to get burnt. No, we won't be here that long. Matter of fact, you'll probably beat the Methodist and the Presbyterian to the Dixie Grill. Okay? So, I want to say something. I want to say it in the right way. We as Christians sometimes are not very good Christians. Don't get mad at me. Let me explain. We, and I'm talking to me now. We as Christians are sometimes not very good Christians. We pray. We sing these wonderful songs. We get out of the car or the truck with a smile on our face and a, hey, how you doing, brother? And might have just fussed with our wife all the way to church. Or might have just kicked the dog on our way out or, you know, rip the kids up one side down the other before we got here, and then just get out of the truck. Hey, brother, everything's good. How you doing? Good to see you. Praise the Lord. And we do all that, and, you know, we quote scripture. We say, you know, thus saith the Lord about this, that, and the other. We teach classes. We preach. We do all the churchy things that need to be done. But then when life happens... and it does. You know it does. When life happens, where are we? Are we, woe is me? Are we fussing? Are we complaining? Are we belly aching? Are we saying, you know, why me? You know, where are we when life happens? I mean, the easiest place in the world to be a Christian is right here, right now. What about tomorrow morning when your boss chews you out for being 5 minutes late because you had a flat tire or something? Or, you know, you get up in the morning and your kid's sick. You have to take a day off work, take them to the doctor, and you've used up all your sick time. You know, what happens then? You know, where's the scripture? Where's the praise? Where's the smile? Where's the joy? And I have to watch myself because I have a tendency to say, we need to be doing this. We need to be doing that. You know, we're terrible at this. We're terrible at that. And that's not what I want this to be about this morning. What I want this to be about, as we read through this scripture, I want you to see the precious, precious resources that we have in Christ, in God, because we are part of His family. And the part about it, when I say that sometimes we're not real good Christians, is we have all those resources there, and we don't use them. We don't go to it. It would be like if I was living homeless and with no health care on the streets, and down the road, I've got a safe that's got hundreds of thousands of dollars in it, and I know the combination. All I got to do is go there, do the combination, open it up, get the money, buy me a house, buy me some food, take care of myself, but I don't go there, and I don't do that, and I just suffer. That's a lot of Christians, and I'm not saying it's us, me or you. I think sometimes we have good days, sometimes we have bad days. But a lot of us are not utilizing the resources that are there. And I just feel like God is sitting there with all these resources ready and available and wanting us. You remember as a parent when your kids needed you and you could help meet their needs? It gives you a great feeling. Well, how much more does God, He's sitting there with all these resources ready to do, ready to help, ready to guide, ready to comfort, and we won't ask. We don't ask. Instead, we sit there and we worry and we fuss and we complain and bellyache and stress and get sick because of stress instead of just going to Him. Residual resources. Residual resources. That's what we're going to look at. So as we look at Psalm 71, I want us to look at these resources that are available. They're available to us. They're there for our use. They're there for our benefit so that we can apply them to our lives so that when life does happen, we can deal with it. We can deal with it. It doesn't beat us up and stress us out and cripple us and defeat us spiritually. We can move through it with a smile on our face and joy in our heart and be effective for Christ. All right, let's read the 24, and then we'll go back and just take them as they come. And like I say, when we get as far as we can, I see you start nodding, we'll cut it off and go home. All right, verse number 1, and this is an unusual psalm because it has no title. We don't know who wrote it, who it came from. Commentators think that it was written by an elderly man, which it makes sense as you listen to it, but there's no title. We don't know who is responsible for writing it, but we know it's inspired by God. Verse number 1, in you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. But you, I have been upheld. By you, I have been upheld from my birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. I have become as a wonder to many. But you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. Let them be confounded and consumed who are adversaries of my life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me. Until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Also, your righteousness, O God, is very high. You have done great things, O God. Who is like you? You who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Also with the lute I will praise you, and your faithfulness, O my God. To you I will sing with the harp, O Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul, which you have redeemed, my tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought to shame, who seek my hurt. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this passage of scripture. Don't know who the author is, and I just know that it's inspired by you, and it's been preserved for us, for our use. I pray that we'll take it, that we will glean from the truths of it, and that we'll be able to apply what we see there to help us be better ambassadors and more confident Christians in this life because of what we learn here in this passage of scripture. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're just going to break it down. Just take them. I mean, we could break it down even further, but I want you to see what's here. I want you to see the pearls that are here in these verses that we can have, that we can use. You know, we talked about a little bit about this the other day. There's certain attributes of God. There's communicable and incommunicable attributes. The communicable attributes are attributes that He shares with us. Like hope, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness. Those things that we can get a hold of. Those things that we can receive and then also use in our life. But the incommunicable, we can't because we don't have that ability. The immutability, which means God never changes. Well, we change all the time. The omnipresence. God's everywhere at the same time. We can't do that. He's omniscient. He knows everything. We don't. Sometimes we think we do, but we don't. And he's omnipotent. He's all powerful. We can't do that either. So what we'll see here are some attributes that God has that he will share with us, that he will use, and that we can tap into and use for our life, even this side of heaven. And that's the good thing about it. Look at verse 1. He says, in you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. What is one thing you've always heard about trust? Trust is what? Earned. Well, let's think about that. If we can trust God, what has he done to earn our trust? Well, to begin with, he created us. He created this world. He gave us life. He made us from the dust of the earth, breathed life into us, and gave us life. Heard a preacher say one time, all we are is souped up mud. You know? And then we turn our back. We become sinners. We decide we want to do things our way. So now we're really in a crack. We're headed for hell. So God sends his only son, the only sinless person to ever live on the face of the planet, who doesn't deserve any bad, took all our bad upon himself and died on the cross for us. So yeah, I think we can trust him. I think we can trust him. So when life happens, when the bills aren't getting paid, when you can't seem to get well, when you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, we can trust him. We can trust him. And the best way I can illustrate trust is just what you're doing right now. You know what you're trusting right now with everything that you are? That pew. That pew. You're trusting that pew to keep you from falling to the floor. That's what God wants us to do with him. Just trust him. Rest in him. Yield everything that you are to him, just like you are with that pew. You do it every day. When you get up in the morning, you flip the light. You trust if that bulb's good, it's going to come on. You stick the key in that car or truck. When you hit the key, you don't understand everything about a combustible engine, but when you hit that key, you expect it to crank. Oh, see, it's just trust, faith. You do it every day. God wants us to put our trust in him, and we can. We can. He's proved that we can. He is our trust. That's a resource that we need to tap into. Look at verse 2. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. He's our deliverance. He's our deliverance. I bet you I could get you to raise your hand today. I could raise mine. About a situation that you happen to find yourself in this week where you needed to be delivered. Might not have been a life and death situation, but you needed deliverance. I could share with you. And I'm sure you could probably share with me. He delivers us. He delivers us. He is our deliverance. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Whatever it is, whatever you need to escape from, and you can put your own adjective there, your own situation there, because you know your life much better than I do. Whatever you're facing, whatever is in front of you, whatever is creeping up on you and stifling your joy and your ministry, he will deliver you from that. You can trust him to do that. He is our trust and he is our deliverance. Look at verse 3, or the end of verse 2. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. This is so good. He listens. He listens to us. Now, I got to tell you this. My wife is a great wife. She was a great mother, still is. You wouldn't believe some of the things that she does for me and for our kids. And we don't have a lot of sit-down, eye-to-eye conversations. She works, I work, she gets home, she's got a lot of stuff around the house, which I'll be the first one to admit, I don't do a lot of stuff around the house. I'm not a dishwasher, I don't wash clothes, I don't clean house. I mean, if she needs help doing something and she asks me, I'll do it. But for me, just to get up and do it, now Clint does a much better job at that than I do. Courtney's trained him well, but I just don't do it. And I blame Mama because she spoiled us. She took care of us to such a point to where I never had to do that. I can remember, I think it was Tuesdays and Thursdays was my night to wash dishes. And if we ever had grits or rice, you know what I'd do? Fill the pot up water, let it sit till the next day so my sister would have to wash it. But anyway, we did do some of that. But I'm not much help around the house. And the point is that God listens to us. And like I say, Deborah and I don't always sit down and have a, you know, eye-to-eye conversation about this, that, the other, unless it's something really serious. And so I'll be sitting there while she's doing her stuff around the house, and I'll catch her when she's maybe in the living room, maybe sitting down, and maybe she's beginning to or just got through folding laundry. And I'll be talking to her about something that, you know, means a lot to me. And all of a sudden, in the middle of my conversation, she'll get up and go in the bathroom, or go in the kitchen, or go in the bedroom. And I just quit talking. And I'll hear her say, I'm listening. No, I want you sitting here listening. I don't want you going about doing all your stuff and tell me you're listening. But she is. But she's just got all this stuff in her mind that she wants to get done, needs to get done, so she can be ready to go to bed at 9 and get up and go to work the next day. But I'm telling you, and I don't think she's listening, but she really is. But God, He listens. He listens to us. We can trust Him. He will deliver us, and He listens to us. Now, you don't think that's a big deal, but let me tell you something. We don't understand who God is. You walk out this door, you look around at the trees, the sun, the clouds, the birds, the grass, the air. He spoke that into existence. That's powerful. That's powerful. And He listens to us. You remember the cartoon movie Jungle Book? Remember when Mowgli is going to tell King Louis the secret to man's red fire? You know what King Louis does? He stretches his ear, makes his ear about this big so he can listen. When we pray, I get the image that God is listening just that intently. He is listening because He loves you. He proved that, did He not? He proved that. He loves us and He listens. He listens. The God who spoke everything to existence listens to me. That's a comfort. That's a comfort. That's a resource that we need to be using. We can trust Him. We can deliver Him. He listens to us. Verse number 3. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. He is our strength, my strong refuge. We sing a song. We didn't sing it today, but we sing a song that talks about Him being our strength and our refuge. He is our strength. And a friend of mine, a lot of you know him, Ed Touchton. He's going with my father-in-law this week to the Philippines on a mission trip. Well, he had an ordinary procedure done a couple weeks ago and had some issues with it and started bleeding and had to go back in the hospital a couple of times. And he said, Clay, he said, I thought I was tough. He said, but I laid in that bed, he said, with tears running down my face. He said, I was hurting so bad. He said, I thought I was tough. And I told Ed this. I said, Ed, you know, when we're at our weakest, that's really our strongest. We think we're bad. We think we're strong. We think we're tough. But when we're at our weakest, that's actually as strong as we really are. But He is our refuge. He is our strength. And He's sitting there waiting for us to bring it to Him. Bring it to me. I can handle it. I can handle it. He is our strength. He is also our stability. Look at the rest of that verse. Or maybe it's the next verse. No, the rest of that one. You have given the commandment to save me, for You are my rock and my fortress. You are my rock and my fortress. He is our stability. Upon Him, the foundation of our lives can be built. He built the foundation of the church on Himself. He can certainly build the foundation of our lives on Him. He is our rock and our fortress. We can trust Him. He will deliver us. He listens to us. He is our strength. He is our stability. Everybody loves stability, especially in the world that we live in today. We need stability, and He is that for us. Verse 4, and I'm moving quickly because I spent a lot of time on some of those first points. Verse number 4, deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. He is our protector. He is our protector. What does the Bible say about the enemy? He's like a what? And what's he doing? Roaming about, seeking whom he may devour. That's us. That's us. He's out there. And I hate him because he's good at what he does. He knows where your goat's tied, and he knows how to ruffle your feathers. He knows. And a lot of times, most of us, he can come up to you first thing in the morning and say, boo! And we're on our heels spiritually all day long, defeated. Because we've allowed Him to do that. God is our protector. He protects us from the enemy. He protects us from those who try to discourage us. He protects us from the hand of the wicked. He protects us from unrighteous and cruel men. And they're out there. They're out there. You know. You know. You've done business. They're out there. He is our protector. Verse number 5. He says, "For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth." Hope. Hope. He is our hope. You ever get these, what is it? Mom and Dad used to get them all the time. I don't think we get them. I think they still do. What are those sweepstakes, homeowner sweepstakes things that come in the mail? Publisher's Clearinghouse. Yeah. Yeah. Where you send that thing in, if you win, you win $5,000 for life. Not just your life, but your kid's life, then your grandkid's life, great grandkid. Man, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be great? Man, you mail that thing in hoping that you win. But what are the chances? You know, what are the chances? It never fails. I go to a convenience store. I get behind at least one, most of the time two, that are buying lottery tickets. Now, I don't buy them. You might. That's fine. I voted against it, so therefore I don't think it's right for me to buy it. So I don't. If you do, that's fine. If you win, you can share with me. That'd be good. But I get behind these people buying these lottery tickets, and they take forever. They'll buy five, they'll scratch them, all that, and give me five more. And they'll sit right there in front of you, and I'm always in a hurry. I mean, that's why you go to a convenience store, right? Because it's convenient, not when they're selling lottery tickets. But they're hoping to win. They're hoping to find the pot of gold at the end of their rainbow. Well, that's not the kind of hope we have in Christ. The kind of hope we have in Christ is that we know it's there. We know it's there. We know it's ours. And there it is. All we have to do is just receive it. Receive it. He is our hope. He is our trust. He's our deliverer. He listens to us. He's our strength. He's our stability. He's our protector. And he is our hope. He is our hope. I'm going to tell you, we've got a probably the most critical election of my life coming up in just a couple weeks, 3 weeks. And I'm certainly not voting for her, I'll tell you that. But my hope is not in any of the presidential candidates. My hope is in Jesus Christ. My hope is that I am in him. The Bible says, if I'm a Christian, I'm in the hand of God, covered with the blood of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit. If you can get through the Holy Spirit seal, you can wash the blood of Christ off of me, and you can pull me out of the hand of God, then I got something to worry about. If you can't do that, I'm not worried. You don't scare me one bit. That's the hope that we have. He is our protector. Is our hope. Verse 6. By you I have been upheld from my birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually in you. Two things here. Verse 5, he's our hope. Verse 6, he's our sustainer and he's our life giver. He's our sustainer. Look at that. You have upheld me from my birth. You know what happened? Was it Friday when Maddie was born? Friday? You know what happened Friday? God is upholding Maddie in his hand. According to this writing, according to what I believe, he's had Maddie in his hand since before the foundation of the world. Just like you and I, if you're a Christian. But according to this passage of Scripture, according to what this writer sees, Maddie, since Friday, is in God's hand. My dad's fixing to be 86 years old. For 86 years old, Douglas Ross has been upheld in the hand of God. Same thing for you. Same thing for you. Same thing for me. No matter how old or how young you are, he is your sustainer if you're a Christian. You have been upheld from birth. From birth by God. What do we worry about? What do we complain about? Why do we fuss? Can you imagine What goes through the mind of God every time we fuss and complain about our situation? Can you imagine? I'm sure it doesn't please him. I'm sure it doesn't please him, because fussing, complaining, is just a display of faithlessness. What did we say? What was it? Matthew 11:58, Wednesday night. He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Their unbelief. You want to see God not do anything in your life? Well, don't believe that he will. Show unbelief, show a lack of faith, and you won't see the hand of God. You start practicing faith. You start believing that he's going to do something. He'll start working. He'll start working. He's our trust. He's our deliverance. He listens to us. He's our strength. He's our stability. He's our protector. He's our hope. He's our sustainer. And in verse 6 there, you who took me out of my mother's womb, he is the giver of life. He is the giver of life. He's all these things. He's all these things. And we don't go to him. We don't utilize these resources. That's why I say we Christians are sometimes not very good Christians, because we don't go to him. We don't utilize the resources that are ours. And I'm talking to me. I'm talking to me. Verse 7. I have become a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. There's that word refuge again. You want people to look at you funny? Start trusting God. Have a bad day and be smiling. Have some hopeless circumstances and display joy. People look at you. What's wrong with you? You got this, this, and this going on, and you're happy? You have joy? You're not worried? You're not anxious? You're at peace? You'll become a wonder to the people around you. You'll become a wonder when you see him as your refuge, your hiding place, your safe place. Verse 8. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. He is our reason. He is our reason. He is the reason that we praise. He is the reason that we glory. We stand up here and we sing these songs and tremendous songs, and hopefully it just opens your mind and makes you think about some of the attributes that God has and some of the ways that he has ministered to you. And that's what makes, when you see people raising their hand, when you see people with tears, when you see people just praising God in their own certain way, they're realizing that he is the reason to praise. He is the reason to glory. It's nothing I've done. It's not having the winning lottery ticket. It's belonging to the one who gives me hope, gives me protection, delivers me, one that I can trust in, one that listens to me, one that sustains me, the one that gave me life. That's the reason. That he is my reason. He is the only reason for praise and for glory. As I get older, I really like verse 9. He says, do not cast me off in time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. He is our reliability. He is our reliability. You see in verse 6, it says, he upholds us from our birth. 3 verses later, he says, don't cast me off in my old age. Don't cast me off. He's reliable from birth to 86 years old or older. He is our reliability. You can count on him at any age. At any age. You can count on him all the time. He is timeless. He is timeless. He is our reliability. Do not cast me off in time of old age, and do not forsake me when my strength fails. Verse 10 and 11. For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him. He is our rescue. He is our rescue. No matter what the enemy is trying to do, no matter how you're being attacked, no matter which direction they're coming from, he is our rescue. He will rescue and deliver you from the enemy. As they pursue, he will rescue. Verse 12 and 13, I'm trying to finish up. Oh God, do not be far from me. Oh my God, make haste to help me. Let them be confounded and consumed who are adversaries of my life, and let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek my hurt. He is our restoration. He restores us. I know we take beatings. We take beatings all the time. And the enemy, he chips away and chips away at us. And, you know, life beats us up and bangs us up and bruises us up. But God restores us. He restores us and keeps us where we need to be. This last one I really want you to see, and this is where we're going to stop. Verse 14 through 16. He says, but I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. I love that. I do not know their limits. What limits? The limits of God's salvation. The limits of God's righteousness. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I've done all these things. Now, this is supposedly written by an elderly man. I've lived this whole life. I've experienced all these different things. I've seen you as my trust. I've seen you as my deliverer. I've seen you as the one who listens when I pray. I see you as my strength and my stability. I see you as my protector and my hope. I see you as my sustainer and the giver of life. I see you as my refuge and my reason for praise and glory. I see you as being reliable all the days of my life. I see you as rescuing me from the enemy. I see you as restoring me to good health and to good standing because of my shortcomings. And then he says, I see you as unlimited. Unlimited. Look at what he says there. He says, my mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. You know what he's saying? I have never found the limits of your grace. I have never found the limits of your mercy. I have never found the limits of your love. I've never found the limits of your trust, of your deliverance, of your help, of your goodness, of your kindness. I've never, as long as I've lived, in all these situations that I've been through, I have never seen the limits of any of those things. You know why? Because he has none. He has none. He is reliable. He has no limits. Whatever we need, he's got it. He's got it. He just wants us to come. He wants us to come. It doesn't matter if, you know, if we're experiencing some financial challenges. Brother Joseph is adjusting to life without Miss Arnetta. Grace is adjusting to having this new baby that she can't take home right now. You may have a situation at work. I'm fixing to go back to work for the first time in 30 years. It's going to be an adjustment for me. You got things that you're dealing with in your life, maybe family related, maybe job related, maybe retirement related. It may be the anxiety from these elections that we're facing, and the uncertainty of our future. Whatever it is, he wants us to trust him. He wants us to come and let him deliver us. He wants to protect us. He wants to sustain us. He wants to provide for us. He wants to be the unlimited resource that we go to when life happens. And when it does, and he gives us that joy, he gives us that peace, he gives us that hope, then we can praise him continually. We can give him the glory that he deserves. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. It's a resource that we need to use. It's that safe full of money that we need to go unlock, get what we need, and let it meet our needs. God wants to meet our needs. We just have to come to Him. We just have to come to Him and let Him be all of those things.